from around the globe. In sold-out arenas. And humble churches. From out on the streets. To your screen. And now, the time and what must be done. On this edition of Farrakhan Speaks.
Greetings to you. I am Minister Louis Farrakhan, National Representative of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, that great preacher of freedom, justice, and equality to the black man and woman of America and the Western Hemisphere, and to the Aboriginal people of the earth, the eternal leader of the Nation of Islam, and a warner to the government and people of the United States of America, and a warner to the nations of the earth. I would like to start by thanking our viewing and listening audience for the 52 weeks that you have listened to The Time and What Must Be Done. During my illness that kept me away from these microphones for approximately 8 weeks, during that time, substitute broadcasts were shown. They could easily be said to be a legitimate part of The Time and What Must Be Done. However, if I stopped at 52 weeks without teaching you what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad wants you to know of this wheel, then I would have been unjust to you. And then I would be in trouble with the Honorable Elijah Muhammad for not giving you the knowledge that he desires for you to have. Although, it's up to you to do with it what you will, but I have to give it to you whether you hear or forbear. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, you have to know this because you will be seeing these wheels over the major cities, and he would not like that you would charge him with hiding the truth that Allah God taught him for you and me. So this has to be a part of The Time and What Must Be Done. Giving you a knowledge of what is above your head and what is about to happen, so that when you see it, you will not be able to charge my teacher, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, or me with withholding from you what Allah God desires for you to know. So I cannot leave this subject until I have exhausted it and what it means. So tune in for the next few weeks for this broadcast on the wheel, the great mother plane. In this 53rd edition, I'd like to discuss a little more on the power of the wheel before we discuss that aspect of the wheel that gives us life and will guide our future. I mentioned in broadcast 52 the scripture from the book of Malachi, chapter 4, verse 1, which reads, "For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble, and the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch." This scripture is referring to the destruction of the wicked, and the power that is on the wheel to destroy all of Almighty God Allah's enemies and the enemies of the great Mahdi or the great Jesus the Christ. We'll go into more detail on this later in this broadcast. The great Messiah, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, talks about how powerful the wheel is in an article titled The Mother Plane in the book The Fall of America by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. He writes, quote, "The mother plane, according to what has been described of it by the enemy scientists, is capable of not only staying up for periods of time, but it is also capable of eluding the scientists of this world. They want to attack and destroy it, but if a plane did get close enough to attempt to carry out this purpose, it would be destroyed instead. The scientists of this world have learned that this is not a plane to be played with. On this point of the mother plane's power to destroy a plane that may want to attack it, in 1988, author Timothy Good published a book entitled Above Top Secret, The Worldwide UFO Cover-Up. On page 421, he writes of an incident displaying the power of the wheel. Nuclear physicist Stanton Friedman, one of America's leading UFO researchers, on October the 27th, 1977, has obtained details of an alarming incident which included a statement by security specialists attached to a unit of the U.S. Air Force Security Service based with the 6947th Security Squadron, whose mission was the monitoring of all Cuban military communications. In March 1967, Cuban radar installations reported a bogey approaching the Cuban landmass from the northeast. Two MiG-21 interceptors were scrambled when the bogey came across Cuban airspace at an altitude of approximately 10,000 meters at a speed approaching Mach 1, which is 761.20 miles per hour. The interceptors were directed to the bogey by Cuban ground control intercept and were guided to within 5 kilometers of the object. What is the meaning of bogey? It is a military term used to describe an unidentified aircraft or missile, especially one detected as a blip on a radar screen. The wing leader reported the object was a bright metallic sphere with no visible markings or appendages. After a futile attempt to contact the object for identification, Cuban Air Defense Headquarters ordered the wing leader to arm his weapons and destroy the object. The wing leader reported his missiles were armed and radar locked on. Seconds later, the wingman began screaming to the ground controller that the wing leader's aircraft had exploded. After regaining his composure, he further reported that there was no smoke or flame. The aircraft had disintegrated. Cuban radar reported the object quickly accelerated and climbed beyond 30,000 meters, approximately 100,000 feet, or almost 20 miles, and at last report was heading south-southeast toward South America. A spot report was sent to the National Security Agency headquarters, which is standard procedure in any case involving aircraft loss by an enemy country. The NSA is required to acknowledge receipt of such a report. However, they didn't, and therefore we sent a follow-up report. Within hours, we received orders to ship all tapes and pertinent intelligence to the agency and were told to list the incident in the squadron files as aircraft loss due to equipment malfunction. A statement made at the National Press Club by retired Marine Corps officer Major Donald E. Kehoe, former director of the National Investigations Committee on Aerial Phenomena, bears witness to the superior power of the wheel. According to Wikipedia, in the 1950s, he became well known as a UFO researcher, arguing that the U.S. government should conduct appropriate research in UFO matters and should release all its UFO files. Major Kehoe was widely regarded as the leader in the field of ufology in the 1950s and early to mid-1960s. Listen to his words.
We are being observed by some type of device which is ahead of us, far ahead of us, and is probably controlled by a highly advanced superior civilization. Now, this is a conclusion which I personally have stated and is shared by some members of our Board of Governors and advisors, not all of them. But it has reached to the point where many people in the Air Force have the same conclusion. In fact, the Air Force at one time had a top secret estimate that these things were interplanetary spaceships. So you will see that this, instead of being a subject for ridicule and a big joke, actually is a serious matter which could affect the lives of all of us.
In Washington, D.C., at the National Press Club, from April the 29th to May the 3rd, 2013, six former members of Congress sat as a committee to hear testimony. They are Senator Mike Gravel, Democrat of Alaska, Congresswoman Carolyn Kilpatrick, Democrat of Michigan, Congresswoman Lynn Woolsey, Democrat of California, Congresswoman Darlene Hooley, Democrat from Oregon, and Congressman Roscoe Bartlett, Republican, Maryland, and Congressman Merrill Cook, Republican of Utah. It was called Citizens' Hearings on Disclosure. As their web page describes it, researchers, activists, and military agency political witnesses representing 10 countries gave testimony in Washington, D.C. about events and evidence indicating an extraterrestrial presence engaging the human race. Some of the early panel testimony involved the manifestation of the power of the wheel. Also, at the citizen hearings on disclosure, additional panel testimony was given regarding the power of the wheel in disrupting American military nuclear facilities. The full transcripts of the testimonies are available at the Citizens Hearings webpage, www.citizenhearing.org. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad writes on page 236 of The Fall of America, and in articles in Muhammad Speaks, June 8th and September 7th, 1973, on the ability of the wheel to create its own atmosphere. He writes, quote, Allah God came in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, to whom praises are due forever. He taught me that after 6 months to a year, the mother plane comes into the gravity of the earth. It takes on oxygen and hydrogen in order to permit it to stay out of the earth's gravity until it needs refueling again. The wheel is capable of sitting up above Earth's atmosphere for a whole year before coming down into Earth's atmosphere to take on more oxygen and hydrogen for the crew who are on this mother plane. Oh, he writes, she is a wonderful thing. It also carries supplies for the crew on the wheel. So the wheel also has the power to create its own atmosphere as any other planet is able to do. And by its being able to create its own atmosphere, it is able to go anywhere in space it desires because it is not dependent on power from the earth. On page 240 of The Fall of America, in a section titled Ezekiel's Prophecy of the Wheel, he writes, quote, Do not marvel at the make of this plane, since it is from the God who made the universe of floating planets and stars, which are supported only by the power of Allah in their rotation, in their orbits. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad writes on the evasive and elusive power of the wheel on page 242 of The Fall of America. The mother plane, he says, can hide behind other stars and make herself invisible to the eye because she does not have to wait on a power from the earth. She can produce her own power to go wherever she desires to go in space. America's planes can't reach the wheel. But America has now developed the weaponry that could rip the wheel apart if they could get to it, but they can't. Listen to what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said in a lecture series that he gave titled The Theology of Time in Chicago, Illinois, on the 9th day of July, 1972. He says, So, my dear beloved brothers and sisters, I have given you a description of what's in the skies. There's a scientist or two on that wheel that can tell every spot where America has her bombs and where she has her dreadful weapons. America has something dreadful. Dreadful planes scouting around with bombs that are capable of ripping this wheel apart, but they can't get to it. That scientist on the wheel. If America's bombers are over California, they just go to another place. America has seen it. She has admitted to me that she has seen it, but they cannot get to it. Recently, on September 24th, 2013, in an article written by Christopher Klein, posted on the History Channel webpage, he bears witness to what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said in 1972 about American planes scouting around with bombs that were capable of ripping this wheel apart. The article's headline reads, "A newly declassified document reveals how close the United States came to accidentally detonating a nuclear bomb on North Carolina in 1961. The article states, quote, "On January 23rd, 1961, a B-52 Stratofortress bomber patrolled the night skies over the Atlantic Ocean. It was 3 days after the presidential inauguration of President John F. Kennedy. And with the Cold War in a full freeze, American bombers such as this one, carrying a pair of 3.8 megaton Mach 39 hydrogen bombs were kept airborne at all times to defend the country. Many hours had passed since the B-52 took off from Seymour Johnson Air Force Base near Goldsboro, North Carolina, when something suddenly went wrong. Fuel started to gush out of a leak in the plane. 19 tons of fuel were lost in just 2 minutes. And as the pilot attempted to limp back to Goldsboro, the right wing suddenly sheared from the plane. The bomber plunged into a tailspin and began to break up. 6 of the 8 crewmen ejected. As the plane spiraled to earth, the bombs, each of which were 260 times more powerful than the nuclear weapon dropped on Hiroshima, broke loose and plunged to the ground as well. 5 of the men who were ejected parachuted to safety. The other 3 crew members were killed in the crash." Well, you might think, what about these supersonic planes that America and others are making now? The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, yes, but they won't be around. Why won't they be around? It's not that the wheel is going to destroy them, but there's going to be a war. And most of your Air Force, America, will be destroyed by each other in the war that is now coming up. Listen to what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says on this in The Theology of Time on the 9th of July, 1972. In his lecture, he says, "This plane goes above the earth 40 miles to unload those bombs on America. She gets up 40 miles. Oh, you say, we have jets that can fly like that. Right. But brother, when this plane unloads her deadly destruction, you won't have any planes up there. No, they won't fly up there with your jets. They are going to get rid of your jets on the ground first. You may ask, how are they going to do that, Mr. Muhammad? They'll do it like this. He said, the first thing they will do, they will go and destroy all America's airplane bases, and they will also destroy her planes that you see running up in the air now at the speed of sound, at a terrific speed of a gunshot, and even faster than that. What is the speed of a gunshot? The little weapon that you, my little brother, have in your hands may be a 9mm. And the speed that that bullet flies at when it leaves the chamber is at 1,250 feet per second, or 1.11 times faster than the speed of sound. The Glock pistol used by the police, when its bullet leaves the chamber, it travels at 1,230 feet per second, or 1.09 times faster than the speed of sound. The military weapon, the M16 rifle or civilian AR-15 rifle, when its bullets leave the chamber, it travels at 3,110 feet per second, or 2.77 times faster than the speed of sound. Well, what is the speed of sound? The Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us it is 1,120 feet per second. Now, they are going to get rid of these fast planes first. How are they going to get rid of them? Elijah Muhammad says, yes, they're going to make her and her enemies get rid of them. Oh, yes. America has some enemies that have the same thing that America has. So put them to fighting first and make them get rid of each other. That will just about do it. They will almost kill or destroy each other. This is what they're driving them to do now. As one scientist on the wheel said, America, the Caucasian was not worth using no such high explosion on. Just wasn't worth it. So let me tell you about the high explosive you are not even worthy of. What is this high explosive? Oh, but we'll get to that later in the broadcast. So when we said last week in an article in the August 3rd, 1973 issue of Muhammad Speaks, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad talks about the end of the war that is coming up, and he raises the question, what can we expect at the end of the war, paradise or hell? And it reads in the Bible in a part of Daniel, the 9th chapter, the 26th and 27th verses, and unto the end of the war, desolations are determined, and that is determined shall be poured upon the desolate. This means the war is coming. And remember what we said in edition 48 of The Time and What Must Be Done, entitled Separation Independence, that at the time of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he sent messages to the Caesar of Rome and the Khosrows of Persia, inviting them to Islam or inviting them to submit to the will of God that they may find peace. Ultimately, Rome and Persia clashed. The Romans won, but it was in fact a Pyrrhic victory, which means that after winning the war, they lost so much that it became the ultimate end of the Roman Empire. Rome today is represented by the United States of America, and Persia today is represented by the Islamic Republic of Iran. Well, war then is coming, and Iran has something to do with this upcoming war. And as Persia was to Rome, Iran is now to America, and I, in the name of Allah and Muhammad, invite America, Iran, Israel, and others to bow down to the will of God, submit to the will of God, that you may enter into peace, that there may not be any war. But as Rome and Persia refused to accept the invitation of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, so will you refuse to accept the call or invitation from Master Farad Muhammad, the great Mahdi, and the great Messiah, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, to submit to Allah. Therefore, war is inevitable. It is being reported through Reuters and other major news services that about 49 senators, including newly elected New Jersey Senator Cory Booker, are supporting a bill to enact new economic sanctions on Iran. It is called the Nuclear Weapons Free Iran Act of 2013. Its initial sponsors were Senator Robert Menendez, Democrat of New Jersey, and Senator Mark Kirk, Republican of Illinois, who launched this effort just prior to the Congress's holiday recess. We shared this with you in edition 48 of The Time and What Must Be Done. These senators are aiming to destroy the present peace gesture between Iran and America over Iran's nuclear facilities. These senators and congressmen want to put tougher sanctions on Iran, that this may destroy the peace effort. But it will also plunge America again into another war. Every one of you in the Senate and in the Congress that votes for this, we desire the American people to see you and know who you are. That if war comes, and it more than likely will, as a result of what you are doing to side with your friend Israel, then I want the American people to rise against these that shall have brought America into another war. Get them out of the Congress and even send them to the front lines, like General Patton sent that coward to the front lines after he slapped the hell out of him and pulled his weapon and said, "I ought to blow your brains out." You members of Congress are sitting behind a wall sending American children to war for your foolishness. Remember, America, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad told me that one day you will see these leaders in the back of pickup trucks in chains being driven through the streets of America, and the American people throwing garbage and other objects at them. It's not you maneuvering for war. It's God maneuvering you. You plan, but he plans. And he is the best of planners. He intends for you lovers of war to destroy each other. So we want the American people to know all these senators and congressmen that are voting to destroy an effort for peace and want to put harder sanctions on Iran just to thwart President Obama's bid for a peaceful resolution for a nuclear problem that Israel, America, and other nations have with Iran. But how are these wheels able to destroy America? The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said the wheels with these bombs will make one pass over the cities, just one. Listen to what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says on this in the Theology of Time lecture on the 9th of July, 1972. He says, "Oh, wheel, wheel, wheel. Think over the prophet looking at it. Oh, wheel, 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 you look dreadful. Loaded up with bombs to rain on America." The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, "Allah told me that he will make one trip across America, and America would be all but finished off." And just three of these bombing planes will go to England, and that would be the end of England. And one of these bombing planes on each of her islands, that's all it takes. These bombs would go in the earth 1 mile, then blow up a mountain 1 mile high and kill the civilization for 50 square miles around it. Oh, brothers, oh, America, please don't come trying to make war with Allah, God. That's a dangerous thing for you to do. Let's return now to the scripture from the book of Malachi, chapter 4, verse 1. Again, in the Theology of Time on the 9th of July, 1972, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, "Wherever there's a God-raised man, a prophet to do a big job, these type of scientists visits him to show him their friendship, that whenever the right time comes, we will be with you." These are the type of scientists or angels that you read of in the Bible, that one or two go forth and do this, and another one will do that. These are the ones that I'm telling you about, Elijah Muhammad says. They visited me here not too many days ago. They have orders by Allah to do a certain job, and each one is to do a certain job. Like you read of it in the Bible, that one scientist, he went out and his job was to send a plague of wind, or send a plague or storm, or to send a plague of fire or something like that. These are the type of men that are on the wheel. Elijah Muhammad said, "I know them and they know me. And that every one of them have a job to do. There are seven of them." Allah said the job is really not enough for one of them, but seven of them will be ordered to do it. And think over it. These are not spooks or spirits. These are men. And last of all, is that dreadful angel which places one foot on land and one on the sea. That's that dreadful one. That's the seventh one. And the book says, and Allah approved it. He lifted up his right hand and his left hand to heaven, and he said in his words, time, time, know it now, we'll soon know time no more. And then he cut a shortage into gravity and sets the nation on fire. This cutting a shortage means cutting a shortage in the atoms of the gravity of Earth, and it makes the atoms over the Earth explode. And when they explode, they set all the atmosphere into a flame of fire, and there is no people that can live on this part of the Earth because it will all be in a flame of fire. This is the way the heavens and the earth will display the judgment, as the Bible and Quran teaches you. But the flame will only go up 12 miles high, but it will most certainly get you that is on this part of the earth if you don't get with Allah and change your ways. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad, further explaining the cutting a short in gravity that produces a wall of fire, he says in The Theology of Time on October the 22nd, 1972, he said, quote, we have read, but we didn't know how he was going to bring it about. He said the way he will do it, he'll cut a shortage into gravity, like a shortage into these electrical wires here, and they go off. And then when he does that, all the air over land will burst in a flame of fire. And the water, there will be no burst of flames over it, but over the land. And that these flames will leap up into space 12 miles. They'll be that high, nothing but a flame of fire burning the atmosphere. Or the atmosphere that we breathe now will become a flame of fire. So these things are now pointing at our home here in America. He said, this is the only part of the earth that fire will actually cover. The other part of the earth will not be covered with fire, and that this part will burn, he said, for 390 years. Nobody will be able to stay here or come here. With a flame of fire cutting through atmosphere 12 miles high, but that will clean it up. After you get 12 miles up into space, you don't have any good air to breathe. You have to be closed in something after that to give you oxygen. Regarding this cutting a short in gravity and creating a wall of fire, he said that if and when, and I'm going to say it again, he said that if and or when, I'll get to the if in a moment, that time comes, he will destroy this part. There will be a wall at the Canadian border and at the Mexican border, a wall made out of the atmosphere itself that nothing in can get out and nothing out can get in. That's the oven that the scripture has talked about. He said the Canadian border and the Mexican border, and on the east water, no bomb, no fire will touch the water, no fire will touch the Pacific or the Atlantic. It's concentrated on 3,000 by 2,000 miles. Go back in your Bible to when God told Noah, get in the ark and take two of every animal, seeds, etc., because you represent something new that will be building a new civilization after this wicked one is destroyed by water. The water didn't cover the whole earth. It just covered that part of the earth where God was angry and displeased, and he wanted to make them an example for us to study. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. Look at the scripture on the seventh angel in Revelation 10. It reads, "And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot on the earth, and cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, and swore by him that liveth for ever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets." What a dreadful image that can become reality. Those mountains coming up a mile high and destroying everything in a 50 square mile radius. And then from 12 miles up, fire coming down from the atmosphere, fulfilling what is written, as it was in the days of Noah, the wicked were destroyed by water. And in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah by earthquake, but the end of this world, it is prophesied to be destroyed by fire, a lake of fire. A lake is a body of water surrounded by land, but a lake of fire over land is earth set on fire, surrounded by water with a wall to the north and a wall to the south. Then from 12 miles up, fire coming down, burning for 390 years and taking 610 years to cool off. So for the whole millennium, 1,000 years, America, when this is done, America will be uninhabitable for 1,000 years. It will be clean for the righteous who have suffered here to walk back after the 1,000 years, and our feet will tread upon the land where we once were sold as slaves. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. There really is a band of angels coming after us, coming to carry us home. Listen to what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad writes on page 242 of The Fall of America regarding the great destructive power of the wheel. O wheel, made to rock the earth and to heave up new mountains upon the earth. O wheel, destroyer of nations, no wonder the prophet Isaiah prophesied that the earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard. God in the book of Isaiah said, quote, "He will shake the nations. All nations will be shaken." Let me read from that 24th chapter. "Behold, the Lord maketh the earth empty, and maketh it waste, and turneth it upside down, and scattereth abroad the inhabitants thereof. And it shall be as with the people, so with the priest, as with the servant, so with his master, as with the maid, so with her mistress, as with the buyer, so with the seller, as with the lender, so with the borrower, as with the taker of usury, so with the giver of usury to him. The land shall be utterly emptied and utterly spoiled, for the Lord has spoken this word. The earth mourneth and fadeth away. The world languisheth and fadeth away. The haughty people of the earth do languish. The earth also is defiled under the inhabitants thereof, because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance, broken the everlasting covenant. Therefore hath the curse devoured the earth, and they that dwell therein are desolate. Therefore the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and few men are left. The earth is utterly broken down. The earth is clean dissolved. The earth is moved exceedingly. The earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard, and shall be removed like a cottage. And the transgression thereof shall be heavy upon it, and it shall fall and not rise again. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall punish the host of the high ones that are on high, and the kings of the earth upon the earth. And the Holy Quran says, and when the earth casts off its burden, and what is the burden that the earth is carrying, since it weighs 6 sextillion tons, and whatever comes up out of it is on it, and it does not change its weight, then what is the burden that the earth is carrying? It's you. It's the wicked. It's the wicked that the earth is carrying that have now become a burden, and that burden is about to be removed if we don't fly to Allah and submit. In the Holy Quran, chapter 99, titled The Shaking, it reads, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. When the earth is shaken with her shaking, and the earth brings forth her burdens, and man says, what has befallen her? On that day she will tell her news, as if thy Lord had revealed to her. On that day men will come forth in sundry bodies, that they may be shown their works. So he who does an atom's weight of good will see it, and he who does an atom's weight of evil will see it. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad concludes in his writing, let us seek refuge in Allah God from the destructive work to come from this mother of plains. Let me stop here for a moment, because some who may be listening to this may be thinking, well, what are we building here for if all of this fire and destruction is coming here? Why are you trying to buy land if this is where the fire is going to take place? Good questions. Well, as long as we are here, we've got to live. This is just common sense. So what are you going to do? Stop living because a fire is prophesied to come to this part of the earth? You don't know when, nor do you know if that will have to be. That's what America is threatened with from Almighty God Allah, Master Farad Muhammad, the great Mahdi, who is the master of the wheel. You that are looking for Jesus the Christ, he is the Mahdi, but in the Christian language, he's called the Christ, one anointed with power to crush the wicked. Christ is the master of the wheel. But you don't know if all these terrible things will happen. Suppose, America, that you are wiser than the Pharaoh of the Quran and Bible. Suppose you are wiser and submit after you hear all of this, and this can be proved at no limit of time. Suppose the whipping of the forces of nature, rain, hail, snow, earthquake, freezing wind as you are getting it right now. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said to me that Allah would take the temperature up to 80 degrees and in a few hours drop it down to 20 degrees below freezing, a span of 60 degrees in a few hours so that your pores are opened and the cold will penetrate and drive some of you to death as it is happening even as I am speaking. The temperature is dropping in some places from 50 degrees to 20 below zero. God is at work. You can call it global warming. God is able to warm it. He's able to cool it, for he is the master over all that makes the heat or cooling. He's able to freeze it. He's able to make it liquid. He's in power today. As the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said earlier, one of our scientists on the wheel said America was not worth using so much high explosives on. Just wasn't worth it. But if America's not worthy to use that power on, yet the power to use it is with us, then juxtapose that with this. He's got the power to destroy all life. You might say, oh, so you couldn't get them to submit? He said he's got power over your life veins and your brain cells. Sometimes if you show a child the strap and he knows that you will use it, then maybe he'll act better. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that even the devil can do good under the gun, but you have to have the gun and you've got to keep the gun on him. Not an actual gun, but the force and power that God is now using on America and throughout the earth. Show it to him and maybe even let a few of them suffer from these forces to let them know in real time that you have it. Then the rest of them may fall in line. This is why he's bringing these calamities on you little by little, so that you may reason with his servant that is talking to you now. And perhaps this can be avoided. But Satan, he's a different kind of fella. Satan doesn't care what Allah shows him. His mindset is to go down and take as many down with him as he can. It's your choice. Next week, the broadcast will discuss that new Jerusalem and the life that is on it to benefit each and every human being on this earth. And we will also discuss that shadow government that hides the knowledge of the UFOs even from the presidents that the American people have elected. Inshallah, God willing, I hope to see you next week. Same time, same station. Twitter Army, go to work as I greet you in peace. Assalamu alaikum.
On February 24th, 2013, during his Savior's Day address, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan introduced Muhammad's Economic Blueprint to end poverty and want.
7 days times one nickel a day, 35 cents a week. Do you have it?
Yes, sir.
Isn't that painless? You know you don't like pain. Look at this. 52 weeks in a year, so that amounts to $18.20 per year. And if everybody in this room, everybody listening by television, everybody under the sound of my voice gave $18.20 a year, multiply that by 16 million in the working force, now we got $291,200,000 in just 1 year. $291 million. Look at the power of pennies, nickels, and dimes if all of us did this. Can you see the picture? Look, we want to do exactly as Isaiah the prophet said. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations.
With your support of Muhammad's economic blueprint, we can obtain farmland, build industry, and create jobs for our people. Through pooling our nickels, dimes, and dollars, we can rebuild the wasted cities and provide a future for our children. To support Muhammad's Economic Blueprint, go to economicblueprint.org and register now.
Are you in agreement with what we must do to end our poverty and want by accepting a program to put our nickels, dimes, and dollars together and make them work for us as a people? How many of you are in agreement? Would you just raise your hands?